This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad you're with us here today on our Thursday edition of the Budweiser Sports Line. Joining us now on our Dreamland of Barbecue guest hotline, our man Jason Caldwell inside the Auburn Tigers. Jason, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How about y'all?
Doing fine. Surprise. I got to admit, surprise. Any level of surprise from you? Did you see any of this Rhett Lashley leaving Auburn for UConn in the works, Jason?
I didn't know where, but I thought there was a chance that we could see him move on somewhere. I thought, you know, we got to a point this year where you could kind of see, you know, Gus Malzahn turning the offense over, and for Rhett, his chance to kind of be the play caller on this level, that, you know, there was a chance that both those guys needed to branch out and do something. You know, Rhett needed to branch out on his own and show that he could be the guy and run his own offense on this level. He's done it at Stanford, but to do it on this level, to give himself a chance to eventually be a head coach, I think he needed to do that for Gus. I think, you know, if he's going to turn the play calling over and you know, let the offense be somebody else's, then there's a chance to do that with somebody with a lot more experience, somebody that has done that, you know, somebody who's done it on this level more. So I think for both parties, it was probably something that that was, you know, heading towards this pretty quickly.
So was it more maybe of Rhett knowing he was going to be kind of pushed out, or he was actively pursuing, or maybe a combination of both?
I think probably a combination of both. I think they would like to be able to find maybe Rhett a place to go and be able to do that. You know, so I think it's probably a little bit of both. Going, look, we'd like for you to be able to go somewhere else and have a job. And that, you know, it happens probably a lot of times in the coaching world. But to do that and where you're able to go out and hire someone as well and you know, kind of move in a different direction. So I think for both guys, it enables you to kind of, you know, basically come out of this looking pretty good. So.
Well, let's explore that angle, Jason. Do you think that they've had somebody in mind when Lashley was ultimately going to go? Is there a clear-cut favorite to replace him?
I don't know that there's a clear-cut favorite to replace him. I think there's probably some guys that are in the picture, some guys that will be looked at and talked to, and I, you know, that I'm sure that process has at least started somewhat already. I would imagine it has. So I don't know that there's a clear-cut favorite, but there's obviously, I think, some guys that'll be in the picture, in the mix moving forward.
I guess, Jason, no chance that Rhett Lashley would have been on the staff next year, no matter what, whether he had found a job or not. And the reason,
I don't know. I don't know that. I think they were trying to find a way to where he was able to find a job. So I don't know that. Can't say 100% yes or no, but I think it's likely that he would have, you know, that they would have gone another direction sometime, no matter what.
The $250,000 pay cut is what really sticks out to me. That just, with everything else, you know, moving on, getting a new job, but wow, that's a huge pay cut.
Yeah, and I think that shows part of, you know, kind of what we're talking about is that he was the guy that they were, you know, was trying to find a job, and I think that was a spot for him to do it, and I think it would have happened sometime. You know, just a matter of happening at this time for him and allow him to go ahead and move.
I thought that it seemed to me to be a little bit similar to Damian Craig's move to LSU, although LSU is a much higher profile job than UConn, in that I think Damian realized that he was not going to get any further up
or any more, you know, advanced at Auburn than he was. I think that's possibly what Rhett Lashley was feeling. This was all he was ever going to do if he was going to stay at Auburn and not get any closer to becoming a head coach. Is that valid?
Well, I think the difference is that Rhett was, I mean, he was the offensive coordinator. He was calling plays. He was doing those things. But I think it's a matter of, you know, people still thinking that, well, you're still running somebody else's offense. It's not
right,
your offense.
Right.
It's not those things. So I think a little different in the fact that he was able to do those things. But I think it's a matter of doing it and kind of showing that you have your own stamp on things.
You mentioned that, you know, very likely there's already work being done to hire an offensive coordinator, and there are a couple of names that they're probably pursuing as we speak. Comfortable in giving out any names of some people that might make sense to you for the offensive coordinator, John?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some fairly obvious names when you start looking at things, and I think a fairly obvious name would be Chip Lindsey. Now, you know, I don't know if it gets to that, how much he's in, or if Gus already has some guys he's targeted on, but Chip Lindsey's a guy that, you know, was an analyst at Auburn, has coached football in the state of Alabama, was a head coach at Spain Park, was an assistant at Hoover, was a head coach at Lasseter in Georgia. So, you know, this guy knows a lot of high school coaches in this area and was a offense coordinator at Arizona State this year and Southern Miss the 2 years before that. So, I mean, that's a name that is a pretty obvious one that should at least be on the list. So, you know, you look at a guy like that, and then, you know, I think there's a couple of guys, you know, at TCU, they have co-offensive coordinators, Sonny Cumbie and, you know, Doug Meacham are two guys that both have quarterback coaching bloodlines. Sonny Cumbie doesn't call the plays, but the guy that played quarterback is coach quarterback. You know, I think those are some guys to look at. And then Jake Spavidal was at Texas A&M, but coached with Herb Hand and Gus Malzahn at Tulsa in 2008 as an analyst. And this guy's coached, you know, from Johnny Manziel to this past year, Davis Webb out of Cal, and, you know, back at West Virginia, Geno Smith. So this guy's coached some pretty good quarterbacks and put up some pretty good numbers as a coordinator. So I think those are some guys that you look at as, you know, maybe possibilities, you know, moving forward.
What about your thoughts about Art Briles potentially?
I don't think that's an option for Auburn. I just think that's something that probably would not be
well received.
I think that's something that would probably have to be for another day later, but right now I don't see that as an option personally.
Has there been any effect or any talk on the recruiting front? What has been some of the reaction about this news from yesterday?
Yeah, you know, not a ton. I think probably the most obvious reaction is going to come from Joey Gatewood, a guy that you know, 2018 quarterback commitment that, you know, he had a really, you know, strong bond with Rhett Lashley, you know, top young quarterback in the country. He's been committed for quite a while. But, you know, it's one of those situations that for Auburn, you have to go about doing what's best for you at the moment. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you can't worry about a, you know, 2018 quarterback commitment. You take care of business on the field. Those things take care of themselves. So other than that, you're looking, both quarterbacks already on campus in this class. You know, and from a recruiting standpoint, skill player-wise, you know, they know Auburn's going to run the football, so your running backs, you know, it's probably not a big impact on them. So overall, I don't think it's going to have a huge impact because, you know, for a lot of times and for a lot of guys, it's the position coach that has the most impact.
Talk a little bit about the inclusion of Greg Brown as the new secondary coach at Auburn to replace Wesley McGriff.
Yeah, I think NFL is the thing that comes to mind when I think about Greg Brown and bringing him in. You know, 15 years of professional football experience, a guy that you know, has been a recruiting coordinator before on this level, so, you know, he can recruit, but he has that NFL bloodline. And I think that's something that was really important for Kevin Steele and Gus Malzahn is looking for a coach who's done it on the highest level. Something they sought out when, you know, they went after Weston McGriff. And I think it was really important for them when they were looking for his replacement. And I think Greg Brown is the guy that, checks off those boxes and a guy that I think they feel comfortable with about the job he can do teaching guys because, they got a lot of talent, a lot of steps coming back in the secondary. It's a matter of making plays, doing the things they need to do to be successful. And he's done that with three Thorpe Award winners back there. He had 15 interceptions his defense did at Missouri last year, so he's produced. So I think they feel like that experience is going to be really the key.
Wow, interesting analysis and info this morning, as always, from Jason Caldwell of Inside the Auburn Tigers.
How do people get the information from the website you provide with the offensive coordinator search, with recruiting, with men's basketball, and everything else you do at autigers.com, Jason?
Yeah, you can check us out at autigers.com as part of the scout.com network. And you can find me on Twitter at ITATJ.
Fantastic.
Jason, it's always great to hear from you. We appreciate your time very much.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good day.
You too, buddy. Great stuff. From,